and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. We just rejoice today for all the things that you have given us. We have so much to be thankful for. In the time when it seems as jobs are going away and money's tight and even, you know, person can lose their home, lose all that they have. But Father, please let us keep our eyes upon you, understanding that this life is just a vapor. And for you to have given us salvation by just coming, whosoever will. It is so simple. Father, thank you. I thank you for the opportunity of salvation. I hope that all here know you as their Savior. Come to the cross of Calvary. As we come to that precious cross, all we need to do is believe that you died for our sins. And Father, we know your Son Jesus didn't die just and stay in the grave. He came out of that grave 3 days later and spent 40 days here and then went home to be with you and is there till he returns to get his church and then comes to the end of the tribulation to bring judgment. Father, please, just show us your word today. Bless every heart that's here. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have looked in these past chapters here. In the sixth chapter, we started with the seals, and as we look through those seals, why, as you can glance back, and I hope that you have taken your Bible and underlined these things, because we can come and we can look at the beginning, the first two verses of chapter 6, and we find the white horse, and we find the bow and the crown. But remember, the bow had no arrows, if you remember right, if you remember. And then the second seal was a red horse, and that red horse come and took the peace away. And that was in verses 3 through 4 in the 6th chapter. And then we have the black horse, which stood for famine, and that was in the 5th and 6th verse. Then we had the pale horse, and that was the sword and the famine and the pestilence and the beast. And that was the first horse that had a rider that was named. Each one said the white horse and the rider, but each time now we come to the pale horse and we find that this name is name of death was the rider's name. And then we come and we find the fifth, as the fifth seal was opened. And just picture as we have this scroll and as each seal is opened and then a certain part is opened up and then comes another seal, and then that seal is lifted as it's sealed on the end, and then you can go to the second seal, and then the third seal, and the fourth seal, and now we come to the fifth seal, and remember the fifth seal, because it had changed from what we were looking before, but the fifth seal, we find that they were the ones that were under the altar, and they were saying unto God, how long, and that's the 10th verse of this 6th chapter, how long will you hold from bringing judgment? And we looked at those that were under that altar, and we found them to be the martyred saints during the tribulation. They wanted to know how long it was going to be before God was going to bring justice and judgment to this land, to this earth, because they had died for the name of Jesus. And they felt it was time. But if you remember, God gave him white robes and said, just a little while. There's others that's going to have to face that same death that you did in a little while. And you think that's a terrible thing that God's going to allow more saints to die. But why is God patient? Why is God waiting? He is waiting because he wants more folks saved. We know that Jesus has got to come soon. Everything, there is not one thing in the Word of God that's not complete today to usher in the tribulation period. And so Jesus is going to come, and he's going to get his church, and he's going to come soon. And when that takes place, people that do not know Jesus are going to go in through into this most horrible time. But even through this time of the tribulation of the 7 years, God is going to open that door. He's sending 144,000 Pauls and Peters and tremendous evangelists that stay true to the Word. He's sending 144,000 to reach this lost and dying world. And all those that have not heard the gospel during that time will have an opportunity of salvation. But upon being saved, then almost immediately death will come to them. Almost immediately death will come. And so these martyred saints want to know how long, and Jesus says just a little longer. Just a little longer. I want one more person saved. Just a little longer. Even at the cost of the lives of these other saints. And that was the fifth seal. And then we looked at the sixth seal. And the sixth seal really opened things up because, you see, it's beginning to... the devil, he's a lover of hatred. That seems like a strange comment. He loves to hate. God loves to love. And he loved us so much that he sent his son. But the devil, on the other hand... his hatred is so great that there is no one. If you decide that you don't want Christ, then your God's the devil. And if your God is the devil, there's one thing that he wants to do to you. Physically, mentally, spiritually, he wants to destroy you. That's what he wants to do. He's going to set out to destroy you. And so understand that. When people, when they reject Christ, understand, have a heart for them and a love for them that you want to bring salvation to them, because the choice here, the alternative is that their God will ultimately destroy them. And so when we have folks, parents, children, brothers and sisters, friends, neighbors, enemies. Is there anyone that we would want to go through this time? And this is going to be just a walk in the park compared with eternity in the lake of fire for those that choose to reject Jesus. But this sixth seal is kind of coming to give you a timeline, is coming to the end of the 3.5 years. And if you'll notice, it didn't seem like a lot of peace, but it's going to seem like peace in relationship to the last 3.5 years. And so we're coming to the close with the opening of the sixth seal, because the opening of the seventh seal is when the last 3.5 years begins. And so keep that in mind during this 7 years as we study this precious book. But this sixth seal, earthquakes, sun is going to be black as sackcloth. The moon is blood. Stars are going to fall from the sky. They're going to fall to the earth. The mountains will shake. The islands will be moved from their place. And it's going to be, the earth is going to be, has such convulsions that the kings, great men, rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains. Why did they hide themselves? Not from the devil, not from the God of this world, but from the God that created this world, from the face of the Lamb. Jesus died on the cross. So you see, he has every right to be the judge. You've got to see this. You've got to understand this. When Jesus died on the cross and gave his life and shed his blood for you and for me, and then he did not set... that everything in this life has a price. Everything. Where you live, to buy something at the store, food, everything has a price. Everything has a price. Well, there was a price to be paid for our sin, and Jesus paid it. And then he did something that you and I aren't not normal for us to do. He paid the price, and he hands you and me the gift. He says, here, whosoever believe. Whosoever believe. So you see, when a person, when a God would do such a thing as that for you and for me, then does he not have the right, after a period of time, a long period of time, does he not have the right to judge those that says, no, I don't want it, I don't need it? Because that's what the lost are saying. I don't want it, I don't need it. We're to be so politically correct in this world that other religions can grow and can prosper and be spoken of and represented, but not Christ, not the Lord Jesus Christ, not Christmas. Why? Can't you see? Can't we see what the devil's doing? That he loves all those other religions. The only religion that he sets out to destroy is the religion of Christianity, of Christ, and it's not a religion, it's a relationship. To know Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. This time, this opening of this sixth seal. And then there comes this time, there was a little reprieve here in chapter 7 where God sets out and gives 144,000, names them per tribe from verse 4 down through verse 8 in the seventh chapter. And then they set out to win as many as they can before the end times. And these verses that come at the end of that are beautiful verses. I'm just going to read them very quickly for you to get on to the eighth chapter. Verse 13 of the seventh chapter, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And remember, in the verses above says that there's too many to can't even be numbered. "And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and are washed their robes, and made them white by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." This multitude of saints that have this promise. Now keep that in mind as we read, come into the lesson today, because now, it seems strange because each time there's been a seal opened, and we're to the final seal, the seventh seal in the first verse of chapter 8. And the seventh seal was opened, and let's look what happened. There was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. There was silence. There's going to be a lot of things that's going to take place this last 3.5 years. This seventh seal, it includes seven trumpets. It includes seven vials, and it includes three woes. Seven trumpets, seven vials, and three woes is in this seventh seal. This seventh seal will be ushered in, again, halfway through the tribulation period, 3.5 years. And when the seventh seal is opened, There is such. Have you ever seen something that took your breath away? And in this case, it was something so awful. It was a sight that you just had nothing to say, and you really didn't even hardly take a breath when you saw it. It just took your breath away. Well, can you imagine something so horrible that it stopped the praises in heaven by the church? It stopped the forever night and day praises of the four creatures. It stopped the angels from singing. This sight was so horrifying that all of heaven were speechless and spellbound by what they saw. You've got to see that. You've got to see in your mind what happened when that seventh seal was opened. Nobody was ready for it. Who is the one that's opening these seals? None other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He saves us. He gives us salvation free. He has every right then to bring his wrath upon an ungodly world that rejects him. And one seal at a time, they're opened up. That's the first 3.5 years. But we get to the seventh seal. And within that seventh seal, again, is 7 trumpets, 7 vials, and 3 woes. Silence. Silence for a half an hour. We have, before we begin this, we've had 7 messages to the 7 churches. We've watched John see this book, and this book was handed to one who sat upon the throne. This book contained, if you remember, the redemption of the earth. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but the earth is still cursed. And there's going to be judgment upon all that reject Christ, and there's going to be a judgment upon this earth. And so this redemption, the terms of the redemption, is in this book. And this book is sealed with the 7 seals. We have been through 6, and now we're to the 7th. And beneath the 7th seal, again, is 7 trumpets. We have several sections here that divide into 7. And we're going to take just a little bit, and this is going to be a review to the end of the book of Revelation. And then we're going to come back through, and we're going to go through it very slowly. Chapter 12 and 13, we will have 7 people or groups or things that are divisions here. We'll have 7 the sun-clothed woman is number 1. Number 2 is the dragon. Number 3 is the man-child. Number 4 is the archangel. The 5th is the Jewish remnant. The 6th is the beast out of the sea. The 7th is the beast out of the earth. And then in chapter 15 and 16, we're going to see the 7 vials filled with the wrath of God and poured out to the inhabitants of the earth. And then in chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, we have 7 dooms. The first is the religious, the ecclesiastical Babylon, the doom of them, the doom of the commercial Babylon, the doom of the beast and the false prophet, the doom of the Antichrist nations, those that follow after, the doom of Gog and Magog, the doom of Satan, and the doom of the wicked dead. After these 7 horrible dooms, as all this unfolds, we have 7 wonderful, 7 good things that's going to come to pass in chapter 21 and 22. New heaven, new earth, pearly white city, new nations, new rivers, the new tree of life, and the new throne. All these things will never end. If you'll notice, God uses through his word the number 7. That's God's number. It's a number of perfection. Now, back to the seal. When the seal is removed and we have the silence that we find in heaven, something happens that's never happened before, because there's something they're going to see that they've never seen before, and that's the 7 trumpets, the 7 vials, as they're poured out. All this is under the 7th seal. We're going to read about that in the 8th chapter and on as you continue to look at this. With what little we've exposed, can you see why that it was silenced in heaven for a half an hour? The awful judgment as it's poured out. Verse 2, chapter 8, verse 2. Seventh seal was open, silence for a half hour. And then John sees something. I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them which were given seven trumpets. Seven angels, seven special angels. They stood before God to pour out God's wrath upon the enemies. Seven trumpets, seven angels. One each have a trumpet. Trumpets used to call soldiers to war. Trumpets used to call to worship during the time of the days of the tabernacle and the temple. They would call it for the convocation in the day. It would be the trumpets would sound. Also, there were special trumpets that were sounded during the years of Jubilee and the Feast of the Tabernacle. Trumpets would sound. This time, as the trumpets are sounding or going to sound, preparing to sound, as the sixth verse says, they are prepared themselves to sound. This time it's going to be judgment. Judgment. Verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar, which was before the throne. Before the trump would sound, we're 3.5 years into it. We've got 144,000 witnesses proclaiming the gospel. We've had a multitude of people saved that the number can't be, it can't be numbered. There's that many that got saved during the tribulation. Oh, that we would have a revival today that they wouldn't have to go into that tribulation period. But instead of that, today the people have a love for the world more than they have a love for God. And they don't want Jesus. John saw another angel. And that other angel had a golden censer in his hand. And he came and he stood before the golden altar. The angel was given much incense, the scripture says, much incense. Now, if you're just studying the book of Revelation, and you're reading this with me right now, why, it may not make a lot of sense. We've got the golden altar, and you're going to find out in a few minutes. We also have the brazen altar in this section of Scripture from verse 2 to verse 6. Now, when you hear the golden altar, and you hear the golden censer, and you hear incense, and you hear the brazen altar, what's that mean to you? Does that mean anything to you? I hope it does. Because if you know about the tabernacle and the study we've enjoyed with the tabernacle, you come into the courtyard and there's a brazen altar. Then you have the brazen laver. Then you come into the holy place, the first room of the tabernacle, which is very small, only 30 by 15 and 15 foot tall. And you come in, you've got the table of showbread and the lampstand and the incense altar. And then beyond the veil, in the Holy of Holies, in a 15 by 15 room, you're going to find the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Now, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, this incense filled the whole, it was on a daily basis, but especially on the Day of Atonement, incense filled the whole rooms, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And the high priest would take from the blood of the sacrifice that was offered on the brazen altar, and he would take that blood, and it was offered with the two goats, if you remember. And one died, one was kept alive to be the scapegoat. And that blood then was taken and brought all the way and delivered onto the golden altar, the Ark of the Covenant, sprinkled seven times. But only with that incense as it poured into the section there. Incense always represents the prayers that go up unto our God. And here we have another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now let's think about that. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, Let's go on to verse 4. The smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And so we come and we find we've got this tabernacle. We've got the brazen altar, the laver, the table of showbread, the lampstand, the incense altar, then the veil, and then we have the golden altar. And on that golden altar is a golden top, which is a pure gold, which is the mercy seat. It only becomes a mercy seat only when it's sprinkled with the blood. Only with the blood. Now, if you look at these verses of Scripture, you can find that this angel, this another angel, has come in. He has the incense, and it's pouring up to the throne of God, to this golden altar. Just picture that. God's on his throne, and this incense is pouring up. Something else is pouring up according to these verses of Scripture, and it's the prayers of the saints. Now, who do you know that can add to the prayers of the saints of God? Who do we know that has the right to go from the brazen altar to the golden altar? There's only one, and that's our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus. We'll find him three other times mentioned as another angel, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. 8:3, 10:1, and 18:1 are the three places in the Word of God that we find that it refers to this another angel, and it's the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus here, and he, of course, is the only one that can add to the prayers of these saints. Who are these saints? These saints are the multitude that are still upon this earth, that are still alive, but the tribulation is coming, and it is so strong because this seventh seal has been opened, and we're going to have the seven trumpets and seven vials and the three woes. And it's getting so serious during this time that the saints upon earth need help. And they're praying unto God, God, please, please give us mercy. Give us mercy. And God, please bring judgment down upon the lost. That's what these praying, the prayers, I'm sure, are about. And the Lord Jesus comes, and he brings those prayers, and he hands those prayers with this incense up to his Father. And so don't miss that, because the prayers go up. But let's see something else that takes place here, and I was sure hoping that I would get this far today. And the angel took this other angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. Now, why do we know that it's the brazen altar? Because that's the only altar that's got fire. It's the only one. Remember the incense altar, it took the coals from the brazen altar. There was no fire, ever any fire in the incense altar, nor there was any fire ever at the golden altar. The only place we have fire is judgment is at the brazen altar at the entrance. And so here we have, and again, if you've never studied the tabernacle, This it just doesn't seem right. But you see, God's the same from the beginning on. And when I did the radio program 2 weeks ago, we've talked about it different times, how the first plan of salvation is in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. And the first time that God showed them he needed a blood sacrifice was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And that it's never ended. It's never ended. And so here goes our Lord Jesus, and he goes back to the brazen altar. And we know it's the brazen altar. That's the only place he got fire. Goes back to the brazen altar, and he gets the coals. Now, what went on the first time with the incense when he went to the golden altar? His prayers went up for the saints. But now, what's going to happen now? Because now he goes and gets the fire. Well, let's see what happens next. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire at the altar, and he cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. these saved, these converted, they've come by faith to Jesus, led by these 144,000. You hear people say that, boy, it's just hell on earth right now. No, it isn't. But there'll be a time that it's going to be close to hell on earth, and that's going to be that seven-year period, and especially that 3.5 years at the end. And that's what we're talking about right now. And because of that, God hears the cries of those saints, and he takes that fire and he casts it to earth, being judgment upon the earth, and it begins. And the only reason he does that is to save the saints that are still upon earth, to give them a little reprieve, give them a little help. We're not told what they prayed, but we can sure imagine that they have prayed for deliverance and for judgment. And he answers that prayer. He answers that prayer. Again, the time, we're midway through the tribulation. Seven seals been opened. We're going to prepare for the first trump in verse 7 next time we come together. The first time we have incense and no fire. The second time we have fire and no incense. Incense speaks so clearly. The way it was prepared speaks so clearly of our Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. So you see, every time we look to the Word of God, every time we study the Word of God, and even now we're in the book of Revelation, we're way back in Exodus when we're looking at the tabernacle. Because you see, it's all the same. We need to learn it and study it. Oh, it can be exciting when we see it. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. The incense and prayers went up. The fire went down. And the sixth verse of chapter 8, and the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Come back next week and we'll begin to sound the trumpets. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for this time that you've given us together as a family of believers. But Father, you only know the heart. You're the only one that knows whether folks are here that are lost. And Father, if there's one person here that doesn't know you as their Savior, send your Spirit to that person, to that heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that they'll listen to the calling, as that Spirit shows them how ugly we are and how ungodly we are and how much we need. We must have a Savior. And then that Spirit doesn't just show us who we are, but it gives us the way out. It presents to us Jesus. That's his job. Jesus, you did your job. You died on the cross for us. God the Father, you've set this all up for us. So simple, so easy. Please don't let anyone miss it. All we need to do is call upon you. Is anyone exempt? No. The Scripture says very clearly, whosoever. So please, dear Lord, touch every heart today. Save the lost and bring the saved alive. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.